God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about welcoming a child. One of my listeners wrote me a letter and said, "Thank you for appreciating me just as a listener and not just as a donor of dollars." Well, thank you. We do appreciate every one of you listeners, and we want you to know that we thank you. We are very grateful for the letters that you write to us. I had another cute letter from somebody who addresses me as Saint Lizzie. Isn't that a hot one? Nobody's ever called me Lizzie before, and certainly nobody's ever called me Saint anybody, but you really tell it like it is, and I praise God for you. Keep it up. But here I go like a sheep, buck, or a billy goat. Well, you are not infallible. And the rest of his letter goes on to take issue with me about something that I've said. But I do want to let you know that I appreciate your letters, even the critical ones, which seem to be very few and far between. But this man is absolutely right. I am certainly not infallible. So if you hear me say anything which I cannot back up with Scripture, and I have not made it very clear that it's merely an Elizabeth Elliott opinion, then I expect you to challenge me. Yesterday we talked about infertility and acceptance. And I remind you again of Psalm 16:5, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure." So if God has not given you children, it's not because He's made a mistake. Two of the happiest couples that I know in the whole world are people that have never had any children. One of the couples were missionaries in China, to whom God gave hundreds of spiritual children, and the other couple are missionaries in Peru. They happen to be Jim Elliott's brother, Bert, and his wife, Colleen. Wonderful people. They have been in Peru for about 45 years as missionaries in the jungles and in the high Andes. Humble, godly people who have accepted the fact that God never gave them any children, but again, God has given them hundreds of spiritual children. Now I want to deal with the question of not wanting any children. "My, what contrary mortals we are," my mother often said. What strange resistances God finds in us who call ourselves Christians. How little faith, how incomplete our obedience. And of course, among the many questions that come to me is this one: is it wrong not to want children? Isn't it better not to bring them into such a terrible world? What about overpopulation? What about money? How can we afford the time, give the attention that the children need? Why can't we serve the Lord in other ways? Well, I will read to you the reply that I have written for people who ask those questions. This was written to a couple who had decided that they were not going to have any children. "Throughout most of human history, the modern mechanical and chemical means of preventing conception were not available, and women more or less received what God gave them, willingly or unwillingly. Now that technology offers so many choices, what does a Christian do? I do not have a final answer, much less a directly inspired word for anyone. But I suggest the following four things for your consideration, for your prayerful consideration. Number one, the first commandment given to Adam and Eve was to be fruitful and multiply. So it's clear that marriage and fruit-bearing go together in God's mind. Number two, married couples within childbearing age, of course, must hear God's call to parenthood. They may not opt out of this responsibility to Him, to family, to society, and to each other. Number three, to refuse to transmit life is to act against the nature of both man and woman as God designed it, and to ignore His plan. Number four, in the marvelous physiological mechanisms of the reproductive system, God included a means of contraception, which some call natural family planning. This differs significantly from the mechanical and chemical and surgical means of intervention, in that first of all, it requires the self-control, sacrifice, and cooperation of both the husband and the wife. Thus, instead of being the arbiters of the sources of life, they are the ministers or servants of the God-given means of conception. To me, this is a tremendously important distinction. For the Christian couple, then, rather than impeding the natural process, is making legitimate use of a divine gift. Love is the willingness to be inconvenienced. Children are certainly an inconvenience in a great many ways and at nearly all times. Yet it's plain from Scripture that fruitfulness is God's call to a married couple. Note the first commandment to Adam and Eve. Real love of whatever kind always bears fruit. Love means acceptance, and acceptance means abandonment, which is the great risk of great lovers. An awesome power is given over, the power to hurt. No one in the world has such power to hurt as husband, wife, intimate friend, or child. To love is to be vulnerable to that power which lies in the hands of the one loved. When a mother and father look into the face of their tiny newborn, they know that that little creature already has the power to rake their souls with pain, a power which grows as the child grows. A sword shall pierce thine own soul, said old Simeon to the Virgin Mother. To love means to open ourselves to suffering. Shall we shut our doors to love, then, and be safe? Acceptance of discipleship is the utter abandonment of the disciple, the surrender of all rights to the Master. This abandonment, in all cases, will ultimately lead to perfect joy. But the way to joy is, in all cases, pain. I think perhaps I better read that one again. It's so hard for us to get hold of. Acceptance of discipleship is the utter abandonment of the disciple, the surrender of all rights to his Master. This abandonment, in all cases, will ultimately lead to perfect joy, but the way to joy is, in all cases, pain. The Bible says, through much tribulation, you must enter the kingdom. Christ never offered immunity. He asked for trust. Nothing in life calls for a deeper humility, a clearer recognition of our own inadequacies and helplessness, and a stronger faith than the gift of parenthood. It is calculated to put us on our faces in the dust. Shall we refuse the risk of this abandonment? Can we shut ourselves off from the difficulties of motherhood and fatherhood and say no to sacrificial love? You may have read Sheldon Van Auken's A Severe Mercy, the story of his own love for Davy, and the shining barrier that they agreed to establish in their marriage, which would stand between them and anything, including children, which might mar its perfection. When Davy died, C.S. Lewis wrote to Van Auken, quote, "Christians would, of course, agree that man and wife are one flesh. They would perhaps admit that this was most admirably realized by Davy and you. But surely they would add that this one flesh must not, and in the long run cannot live to itself any more than the single individual. It was not made any more than he to be its own end. It was made for God, and in him for its neighbors, first and foremost among them, the children it ought to have produced. The experience of a woman denied maternity is one you did not and could not share with her. To be denied paternity is different, trivial in comparison. You spared her, very wrongly, the pains of childbirth. Do not evade your own, the travail that you must undergo while Christ is being born in you. Do you imagine that she herself can now have any greater care about you than that this spiritual maternity of yours should be patiently suffered and joyfully delivered? That's the end of the quote from C.S. Lewis. One last word I'd like you to ponder. I don't pretend to understand it, but surely it touches on the great mystery of maternity in a way which the Holy Spirit did not see fit to explain to us. 1 Timothy 2:15 says, "Women will be saved through bearing children, if she continues in faith and love and holiness with modesty." Another translation says, "She will be saved through motherhood." I take this to mean at least this much. A woman is kept in the path of safety, not by taking the offices of men, but by performing the functions assigned by the Lord. When the Lord himself withholds the gift of children from a married woman, it is for his own holy purposes, and surely he will save her as she fulfills those.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.